sure is. Welcome to Wednesday, November 19th. We're in the middle of this. Cloudy thing going on right now, 39 degrees. Thank you very much for waking up with us this morning. Once a month, I always look forward to this conversation. Scott Nicholson and Richland Wilkin Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I want to give a shout out to my sports director before we get going here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Robert Wanick and Turner Blaffus. One more time.
One more time.
Because of Cowboy football and the fact that they put together such good quality stuff on our Facebook page in 28 days, over a million views.
That's so incredible.
Congratulations to those two, and way to go, guys.
Yeah,
good work.
Yeah, good time to be from Breckenridge.
Absolutely. Green and white, definitely. Yep. Green and white fever going on.
Absolutely. Yep. We're talking about it this morning in a meeting, just the impact that it's having on people, and it's bringing folks together that have not, you know, talked in 20-some years, and now they're coming together because of this group of football players and that coaching staff. I'm just really impressed with what Breckenridge is putting out there right now.
Good stuff, and go Cowboys. And yes, the game will Cowboys. Be on B92.7 on Friday, most definitely.
So I'll be listening. I can't attend the game, so I'm one of the few from Breckenridge that won't be there in person. So I really appreciate KBMW carrying it for me on the radio.
Why we're here, my friend. Hey, it's grant season. We got to talk foundation going. Yeah, grant season.
It's grant season, and it's November, so I'd be remiss if I didn't begin by thanking several people. I just, first of all, thank all of our donors, our sponsors, you know, this year and in the past that have allowed us to get to where we are today. Mm-hmm. I mean, this foundation is very robust. We got a lot of good things going on, and it's because of the generosity of the donors. So I want to thank them. Also want to thank the committee, because tomorrow morning is going to be a very, I don't want to say a difficult day, but it's a challenge to
that
figure out.
That can't be easy. Yeah. Seriously, well, that can't be easy.
Yeah, we've got a very, very strong field of applicants, and that's what makes it hard is, you know, you want to approve everybody for everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've got budgets that we've got to work within, and so I want to thank the committee, because tomorrow they're going to put in the hard work. Tomorrow we have about $40,000 budgeted. And over $120,000 in requests. Yeah,
incredible.
There's a lot of wonderful things going on in the area, and that's the substance of the applications. You know, I can kind of just skim through the summary. I mean, we've got arts, animal welfare, education and school programs. We've got historic programs, of course, our your emergency services, your basic care, you know, things of that nature. Parks and Rec, if I haven't said that. I mean, just a real wide variety of project types.
Mm-hmm.
We've got things from brand new organizations. We've got things from established agencies that have been doing work in our counties for a long, long time. So it's it doesn't make it easy, you know, but it's good work. It's work worth doing.
Scott, I got to ask you this, because you're plugged into, pretty much the whole state of North Dakota. Are there other communities and other towns that have, like, this many nonprofits or this much stuff going on? I mean, towns our size or population our size?
Yeah, you know, I would say that it's kind of an equal ratio. You know, you look at our population base, and this, and Richland Wilkin is two counties, okay? So you should expect that there's more agencies within the county. And we do serve, the Richland Wilkin Community Foundation serves agencies that serve both counties. For example, Backpack Program. Okay. They are an applicant. They have received a lot of support from us in the past, but they cover hundreds of kids.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, that's something that's unique for Richland Wilkins Community Foundation. Hankinson and Fairmount don't get those requests.
Mm-hmm.
There's students in those districts that probably benefit from that program, but that application comes through Richland Wilkins. So that's kind of one of the nuances to this foundation that's different than some of the other foundations that I serve. But one of the things that's really rewarding about this job is when you go to these different community foundations, you see the different things that are going on in those communities. And you see, you know, enhancements to parks. You see programs that benefit, you know, arts and students and education in those areas, it's happening different but similar. So it's one of the really interesting things about this job is you get to see all that.
What is the vetting process to this? I mean, what kind of criteria for determining kind of how this cash goes? I mean, if you can talk
about
that.
Sure. Well, from a committee standpoint, you know, it kind of depends on the committee and their, you know, composition. For the most part, committees try to keep their dollars in their communities. Now, on the other side of that, I'll see applications outside of Richland-Wilkin from, for example, hospice. Hospice of Red River Valley is based in Breckenridge, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they serve
They got outreach, yeah.
They have a larger geographic area. And so I might get an application for one of my funds in, say, Lisbon or Milner. Well, hospice is serving patients in Lisbon and Milner. And so Lisbon and Milner has a little bit of different criteria when they make a decision than Richland-Wilkin. You know, Lisbon or Milner may say, well, we just really want to support something that's, you know, Lisbon or Milner based. And then that's where I have the conversations with the grantees and the applicants and say, you know, you have to kind of help me understand your application as best possible so that when I'm in that decision meeting with that committee, I can answer questions on your behalf. A good example is an individual from the Richland-Wilkin Community Foundation. They had some questions on a couple of the applications in this round. And so she asked me to do a little digging. I did some homework and I've got some answers that I'll be sharing with the committee tomorrow that may help, you know, them arrive at a decision on those applications.
That's a lot of moving parts.
Oh, okay. Gosh,
I don't know how you do it and how everybody does it.
It's constant phone calls and emails, really.
Is the
substance of my day.
All right.
But it's good conversations, you know. Tell me how you're helping people in this area and tell me what I can tell the committee on your behalf, you know, when we get to your application. It's just a lot of conversations like that.
Well, and no matter who you select, it's still a forward moving process. That's got to feel good about doing the job you do.
Yeah. We feel like we're supporting, you know, everything we do is moving things forward, whether it's supporting an emergency services type of program that's really there for somebody in their darkest hour. Or if it's, you know, enhancing ballparks and theaters and historical centers. I mean, everything that comes out of the foundation is intended to be a benefit to someone else.
Yeah, and, certainly is that.
And we get to do it because the donors have entrusted, you know, their funds with us and have said, go out and do, you know, good things in the community. For those that read the daily news, I do a monthly piece. And in November, we had National Community Foundation Week. Okay, one of the really interesting things about community foundations is this local advisory committee. It allows the foundation to focus on the business side, but it also allows for the decisions of where the grants should go to remain local, to change and evolve with the changing variables in those communities. And
that's a good mix.
Oh, it works so well. As I've gotten more and more familiar with this role, I see the genius, you know, behind it now. And it's like, oh man, this really, really works. And so, it's exciting work that we get to do. I'm looking forward to the meeting tomorrow and seeing where the decisions fall, and there'll be press release. We'll announce that. And of course, if you're,
please do.
Yep. If you're a follower of us, we typically try to highlight where the grants go. And of course it's in our annual report and that and so forth. So, I'd love to talk more about it, but I don't know how many hours we have on the radio today.
I'll tell you what, and I wasn't going to throw this at you, but I'm going to throw it at you.
Okay.
2026, as far as the foundation, you got plans, you got things coming up. Things going to be exciting in 2026?
Yep. Always looking ahead. We know we're going to do our golf scramble. We've got the date for that. That'll be July 16th. We've got some, already have some commitments from some sponsors. Got some ideas brewing, you know, there. I think we'll Lord willing, we'll have another perfect day of weather. I don't know how we keep scoring that every year after year. I'm going to jinx it some year. But
don't say that.
But, you know, we're looking forward to the golf scramble. We're looking forward to Power of 100 again. We just wrapped up. OSPTI did another soup day for us.
How did that go? Call them here in a couple of minutes and get numbers.
What
here.
You got to do is you got to put it on your calendar for 26
because
you're going to want to get some to-go soup. If you can't leave the office, I imagine you probably can't leave
the
office. You got to get some to-go soup because their employees make the sacrifice. They buy the ingredients. They cook the soup in their kitchen, bring it, you know, so we're not a full service kitchen here, okay? Yeah. But their employees make such a sacrifice. They give up a day of work, you know, really, because I mean we've got the training center all is a soup buffet. We run out every year, so you know, get your orders in early, you know, call ahead and
get that on your calendar.
Yeah, we usually have, you know, like this year I think we had like 10 different kinds of soup, you know, and I'm kind of the MC, the greeter as people come and go, and yeah. I've not had one person say they've had a bad soup yet.
So. I love it. I love it.
We got a lot of things like that. Of course, we've got our annual appeal letter dropped in the mailboxes here this week, so folks that are on that mailing list will see those arriving in their mailboxes shortly. And you know, we're looking at similar. We think similar budgets for 26 as far as our granting ability.
Okay.
We're gonna figure a little bit of that stuff out in the early part of the year. We have a couple.
We can talk about this in our December report too, and then we'll wrap up 2024 and we go
25,
back and, or 25 and reflect.
Yep. All right. That'll be good.
Scott Nicholson, always great having you in here.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Look forward to our December conversation here. It's 9:19. The Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW. Good morning.
Hey, whiskey drink. I know it's been a while. Got to talk to you, got to catch you up on the hill I'm in right now. Yeah, whiskey drink. Now you won't believe things I said, the way she left, the way the leaving all went down. It might take all night to get her off my mind.